On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
We've beat the bad feel down pretty bad here. Like, let's talk about having good feel. Like, what situations where you had good feel and you're like, fuck yeah, that was a huge victory for me. Like, you felt good, right? We talk about like your stomach dropping on bad feel. Like, when you have good feel, like you're puffing your chest out, like you're awesome. Like, what situations have you had good feel in that you felt good about?
I have. So like a big one for me is like, you plan ahead on the schedule, right? You know, kind of like roughly like one, you know, where you're traveling to, what the travel schedule's like, what your lifting schedule's like, and you kind of know how you've programmed like workloads in, particularly I'm speaking particularly with like pitchers, like relievers. So like, you kind of know like what type of work you've put in ahead of time. So like, I hope none of them are listening to while I let the secrets out, but like, there's every couple of weeks, like I will, and it's usually when we're on the road, I'll kind of like front load their running a little bit more. So they're still getting the volume. They're just getting it in 5 days versus six. And then, you know, I'll throw something up like a run that their guys aren't particularly crazy about on a Sunday. And then just like already knowing ahead of time, it's going to get banged. Like, just to kind of boost the morale, like get guys going. And it's like, I think it's that's the art side of coaching is like, you know, they've put in the work already. And you're just making them think it's just another day. And then you drop a center field and back on them with no conditioning. And it's like, you know, everybody goes wild. And it gets you buy-in. Like, everyone's like, yeah, great feel. Like, the funny thing about feel overall is like, if you agree that they don't have to do something they don't want to do, you instantly have feel, whether it was like the right decision or the wrong decision for them, like actually for them. But that's always my big one. And I really do, you know, we're lucky enough to have assistants, and I really do like, I don't need extra pats on my back, but I think it's a good way to help gain some street cred with the assistants. Usually is I'll be like, hey, today, like, take them out, give them a center field and back, and say like, no running. And then like, all of a sudden they're the man, they're like going against the grain, like, you know, he's going against what Joe said we should do. So, like, he's on our side, and it helps boost the street cred like a lot. And I think it does like help boost the morale for them. So that's like my big cheat code in secret. So hopefully none of them, I doubt any of them are going to listen to this anyways, but hopefully none of them are listening when this comes out, so they know all the tricks. But that's mine.
You're going to get called out next week. I heard about this on the podcast. I see your plan. That's funny. Casey, how about you?
I'd say mine somewhatly similar, but with the position players. So those guys, it is just a constant battle, right? Especially when we have like things within spring training. We've definitely had some longer days with them between combining like our dynamic warm-up with maybe some like positional agilities or like an extended like movement development period, where sometimes it can get just pretty long. And like that on top of a normal day in the hot Florida sun, all these things, waking up early, guys can get pretty, I don't know, they can make some jabs at you out at prep. So things that that have kind of helped me like with having good feel on that, though, is, you know, when you're noticing that, you know, things are running together, this is obviously where having some of your workload systems in place help too. But I've been able to have some really good conversations with staff of being able to have like undulating our workload. But there's been times too, right, where on the schedule, like something gets missed and it says we got a dynamic. So I've kind of done the same thing where it's like, we go out there, I'll get the guys going. I'll be like, all right, like, let's jog down, jog back. They do that. They come back and I'm like, all right, we're going to do on your own today. And then they're all just like, same thing, like Joe said, they're like, let's go. Like, But I think it's always fun to just kind of almost lead in like you're treating it like a normal day, but then just kind of drop on them. Or we've had it too, where here, like at the affiliate, our manager just typically he'll like to give the guys like a little spiel on like how the game go last night, what's the focus for the day. And then he'll pass it off to myself or other coaches. But I've done it that way too, where he passes it off. I'm like, all right, guys, like something really important today. Really want to focus in, and you know, we're really going to address this. And then it was, ah, I'm just kidding. Like, go ahead and warm yourselves up by yourself. So it's good to do that. And then again, like having the feel there though, right, is like for us in the Jays organization, it's like, you know, once guys get up to like certain levels, we used to have it where it was like A ball. I think we're still doing it like low A, they have to, but pretty much from like high A up, at least when they're going out to the line, like during a game, like we won't take them through anything. So that's kind of like the rite of passage for them. But still when we're out at practice though, like we're definitely working on things there, but is also knowing on certain days for us, it's like we'll have two high days and then we'll do like a low intensity day, or like more of like a, again, like show and go day. But being able to use those days to kind of, again, right, like dose things in or have some feel on things, just to let the guys know, it's like, hey, I understand like you guys are working your butt off. I understand the body's hurting. I understand you need to blow sometimes. And that those are things that guys really appreciate when you can go to bat for them and have the conversations with everybody to get people on the same page, because we know it's going to get them better.
Center field and back always gets you street cred with the players. And I will say the one thing is like in spring training, make sure that if you have all the fields going at the same time, make sure everybody's on the same page. Like if it's a center field and back day, like everybody does it. And if it's a full day, like be a full day, like don't just pull your own center field and back card. That probably would go under the bad feel one. But anyways, so I would agree. Like I have plenty of times, I'm sure all of us have, like where we play that card and, you know, we get the rah rah and the cheer and stuff. I have a specific like good feel story. And this is like personally my biggest triumph, I think. So we had a guy starting pitcher throwing a good game, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he gets into some trouble. He's grinding. I don't remember the exact situation, but I think bases were loaded, no outs, whatever. Gets an out, and then gives up like a mammo grand slam. Just guy just pumped it. And manager pulls him. And I know this guy is kind of a hothead, and I know he is pissed. We're in Portland. So, Joe, you know how small the dugouts are there. So he's coming in, and it's kind of one of those where, like, you know, guys are unsure if they should dap him up or anything. So they kind of just leave him alone because he's hot. And he comes in and he gets a fist going. And I'm like, oh shit, he's going to punch something. And he rocks back and there's a pole in the middle of the dugout. And I'm like, he's going to punch the pole with his pitching hand. Like, fuck, he's going to break his hand. So I see it developing and I fill a cup of water and I just shove it in front of the pole. And he goes to like punch the pole, and then he sees the cup and he opens his hand and he grabs the cup of water and like drinks it, throws it, and then goes in the bathroom and just starts, you know, yelling at himself or whatever. But if I didn't have that court awareness that I was talking about earlier to like see what was developing and like put something in his hand, he would have 100% punched the pole, to the point that like after the game we talked about it and he was like, yeah, I was full on ready to just like send it and like break my hand. I didn't even care at the point. Like, thank you for saving me, because I can make my next start now, where I probably would have been out for quite a while if I broke my pitching hand. So like that one for me is like kind of an unorthodox, like we all have the, you know, the circle stretch, center field and back, whatever, but that was like the unorthodox, like having some court awareness, like understanding what was going on around me and like preventing a major catastrophe happening in the dugout. And so for me, like that one I felt good about. I always feel good about that one. And like, I don't even know what ended up happening after, like if the kid made it through the season or whatever, but like that one moment was like huge win for me. And then like other moments, you know, we talk about like food, or like for us, like getting on the plane, or like, you know, it's just when you see a player approaching, like just let them go in front of you, right? Like the other night I was about to get my food, and like the way our kitchen is set up, like you come upstairs into the kitchen and I see like three players coming up the stairs. I'm like, all right, I'll just take a step back, let them go. And every time you offer, they're like, no, go ahead. And you're like, dude, you played today. Go ahead. I haven't done anything. Like, those are like the good feel moments that I think, you know, sometimes players don't even think twice about it. Sometimes they do, but like, it's just common courtesy, like I talked about earlier. So I feel like I have way less good feel stories than I do bad feel stories. And, you know, Joe, you talk about like learning from other people's failures. Like, I don't know if I like any come to mind as much as that, the cup story with the water that I kind of saved the guy from breaking his hand. So.
Yeah. I think like really anything good feel, like, you know, you have those center field and back things, like the little morale boosters, the get pizza on the getaway day, or, you know, a big one for me, more so when I was in A ball, cause they were more south, like the BJ's brew house, like guys love the Pizookie. So like if you know, you're going to get BJ's and you can kind of like finagle the budget around to get like mini Pizookies, like, they're just like little morale boosters that like they go so far. Like, it's something so small, but it just kind of breaks up the monotony, and they know that like ultimately like you are on their side. Like, you're not a food Nazi and, you know, constantly only worried about getting like the healthiest chicken, rice and broccoli kind of thing. Like, we're all human, and I think it definitely helps a lot with the buy-in. Like, any way you can alter the food schedule in their favor is going to get you buy-in, like, without a doubt. But, you know, some other things, like, I think any way that you can just help the players out, like you mentioned, you know, money's not as big of an issue now. Like, guys get paid more money. They get housing. So like, things are in a better spot, but I still always have this kind of thought of like, they don't get paid a lot. They, you know, they're grinding through the year. Like, they don't have a ton of resources. Like, they have tons of resources now, like way more than they used to, but just kind of coming up when I came up, that was kind of always the thought process. So, you know, like, I'm lucky I'm staying at home right now. The first thing I try and do, like when we come to Hartford, is like, okay, which one of like the vet guys or which one of the guys on the team with the family, like which one of them can have like my hotel room, cause I'm not going to use it. And thankfully, like, it did work out really well. One of our players is a, you know, relatively new dad within the past few months, and his family's coming. And when I found that out, I was like, okay, like, you're the guy that's going to get the room key, so that you can have the room for yourself and you don't have to worry about paying out of pocket for it. So for me, it's anything like that. Like, any way that you can help a guy out, is, I kind of think it goes synonymous with just like, you know, being a good person to them. And it goes with the buy-in piece. Like, if they know that you're here just to help them out, like, you're ultimately gonna get more buy-in with them. And, you know, I think I see that as feel in a different way as well.
So for me, the biggest thing that I've had is like, I'm with Kiyoshi in the big leagues, and Kiyoshi's been around forever, and he came up old school, like you're talking about, Joe, of like helping the players any way you can. And so for us, our big thing is like creating the environment, and part of creating the environment is like being ahead of guys, right? And like knowing what makes them tick, and knowing what they have that day, and having things set up for them ahead of time really does help us. And we've had, you know, players that go to other organizations that are like, you know, I miss your lifting cards. I miss you having these things set up for me. I miss this. I miss that. And it's like, for us, that's a big win, right? Like, you talk about buy-in, Joe, and like, it's a different kind of feel. And like, if you know the guys have 30 yard sprints, like, have the cones set up ahead of time. If you know the guys have squat, like, have the bar set up and have the gym aware ready to go. If you know a certain guy gets there early and he likes a certain type of music, like, have that music playing when he gets into the weight room, right? Like, creating the environment and being ahead of people is going to get you a lot of buy-in from guys. And in a way, that's good feel, right? Like, that goes to the court awareness aspect I was talking about earlier. It's sometimes it's hard to learn court awareness and learn like having some, you know, just being aware of what's around you and being aware of what's going on. But if you can do that and you can kind of have that big picture view and have things set up ahead of time and have a plan of action, like that's going to get you a lot of buy-in with those guys, those players. And for me, that's like the ultimate, like the guy comes in and he's like, what do I got today? Oh, I got squats. Oh shit, you already got the bar ready for me. All right, let's go. Right. Like spring training, you see a guy walk through the door and like you grab his card and you have it set up for him. Or like, you know, you just, you're ahead of those guys so that when they come in, like it seems like your focus is entirely on them. Right. And that's a really hard skill to develop, is like giving your full attention to seven different people at the same time is really, really hard to do. But making them feel like, okay, he's got his eyes on me. He's got his eyes on me. He's taking care of me. Like if you can master that skill, like that's really going to get you like the ultimate level of buy-in. And then, like you said, Joe, that's just a form of having good feel. It's just being aware, being ready, and being ahead of the players when they come. Very hard to do though.
Yeah, I think to that too, Chris, is it's like, I look back at my first year and even like, we're very fortunate now that I'm able to have an assistant up here in AA, but it's like thinking to what you're talking about, like getting ahead of what guys have for the day. I think something that I think about as well, it's a very like small thing, but I feel like what can kind of give you, I don't know, I guess confirmation that you have good feel or that you're really making an impact though, but is seeing how, it, again, you don't have to force this, but it's just seeing how often guys are smiling around you, right? Is from just being able to have the banter, being able to like have the good conversations, like just being able to develop the relationships with guys. That's something that I feel like I use as my feel, you know, metric or barometer, but is like, you know, are guys having a good time around me? Like, are we able to have like wholesome conversations, things like that? Because again, like it is a grind. And then the second thing too, though, of you talking about investing your time and showing that you're giving time to each guy individually when you have, you know, 7 to 8 guys in the weight room, or let's say you're in spring training, right? Where it's like you have the entire organization in there, but you have like your group of guys that you're working with. I think it's a very, very valuable, important skill to have, to be able to know how to manage conversations. So that way for the group that you have, it's not like you're spending, you know, 10 minutes with the single dude where you're talking through things like, hey, this is why we do it, this and that. And I've fallen into that trap because I'm very big on make sure that people and our players know the why. But is you also have to be able to do that. So that way at any given time, again, you got 8 to 10 guys you're working with, that you can basically be able to interact and give each guy what they need. It's very tough, especially when you first start out, because you have to know how to navigate conversations, get through things. So once you do get to that point that you're able to hit that, guys appreciate it. But at the same time, like, I think it takes a while to get there. And I'm still working to get better at it. I feel like I've gotten better at it. But that's something I've noticed prior to having an assistant as well, too, though, is it's like, you know, you're going to have a list where there's a ton of guys in there. And, you know, you got to be able to dive in with each and every one of them, because they want to see it. You have to develop them. And there's also going to be people in the organization that are going to say, hey, how's so-and-so doing? And you can't necessarily sit there and say, well, you know, I didn't get a chance to get to him today because I had a lot of guys. It's like everybody has a lot of guys. You're always going to have it. So very important to develop that where you can kind of get your touch points, but do it in a wholesome way too. So that way guys don't feel like you're just checking a box.
And if people know that, if people recognize that you have feel, the players recognize that you have feel, and you ask them to do something that they don't want to do, or that they think like, you know, internally, this isn't something that I feel like should be done right now. Like if they know that you have feel and like you've demonstrated like times where it doesn't make sense to do something and you're still asking them to do it, like you can get more out of them for sure. Like, you know, I don't really want to run 10 of these, but I know that normally like when I'm feeling shitty, he'd be like, hey, you know, cut it to 8 or cut it to 6. But he's like telling me like, no, I really think you should do 10 today. Like there's a reason behind it. And so like, I think guys are going to be more likely to respond to that if they know that, you know, you do have their best interests and you've given them the benefit of the doubt. And this time they're giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I'll say too, the one thing for me, you know, comparing minor league to major league is like, you're talking about like cutting reps or like having some feel for guys. Like sometimes in the minor leagues, it's hard because like you are the guy at the affiliate, but you have the coordinator above you, right? And like a lot of the stuff comes from the coordinator, where when you're in the big leagues, like, you know, Kiyoshi is our top guy in strength and conditioning in the Boston Red Sox. He's a head strength coach. So like when he and I talk about things, like ultimately that decision is both of ours, right? Like if I feel a guy is tired and he needs 6 instead of 8, like he's going to understand that because I'll be able to talk to him immediately, right? Like as soon as the guy's done, you know, so-and-so is feeling kind of tired today. Like we only did 6 instead of 8. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. We're like at the affiliate, you make that decision. And then, you know, you're not going to go in and text the coordinator like, oh, you know, pitcher so-and-so was tired today, so I did this less, right? Like you're just going to make that decision and hopefully the coordinator trusts you enough that you made the right decision. And I think like you're talking about, Joe, as you get older and you're around and you earn some street cred, like guys will trust you, right? Like I know that Kirby trusts your opinions, and if you make a decision, like you did it for a reason. Where like if somebody's new to the org or new to pro baseball and it's your first year and you just make a decision to cut some reps because you want to have some feel, that can get you in trouble. And that kind of leads me into my next question for us is like, is there ever a time where you can have too much feel, right? Like we talk about having feel as a good thing. But you know, Casey, you talked earlier, like you thought you had some good feel and it ended up backfiring on you, right? So like having feel may not always be the right thing to do in a situation. Sometimes you have to be a hard ass. Like, is there time where, like, are there times where you think you have too much feel? And then maybe like give an example if you have any, whether it's yourself or somebody else.
If you're never getting pushback on something, like ever, I would say you probably have too much feel. Like there's got to, complaining is part of your day. Somebody's got to be complaining to you about something related to the food or the running or the lift or why are we doing this instead of that? Like some of it's just, you know, healthy banter. Some of it is like general complaints, like, and some of it's like some guys are just have, you know, some guys have the ass. It just happened to one of our guys last week. It's like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And he's normally pretty decent. I'm like, are you having a tough day, man? He's like, yeah, I know, I got the ass. And I'm like, all right, well, like we'll talk about it tomorrow. Like, just do what you need today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But I don't think if you're, or I think if you're not getting any pushback from somebody every day, like you're probably not pushing hard enough, or you might have a little bit too much feel, like too easy to like slash reps down. Yeah, that's what I got there.
No, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, realistically, if you're a pushover, which I think it's probably pretty easy to be that way your first time in, if you're coming from college, just wherever, if you're just kind of getting, you know, immersed in baseball for your first time. And I think it does really just kind of come back to, it's like you have your like standards, let's say, right? For us in season, hey guys, you got to hit 2 lifts a week, whether it's 2 full lifts of like a total body lift, or if we split it up and you're doing upper lowers, then you're doing 4 at that point. But it's like you have kind of your standard principles that the org establishes from your coordinator. And just knowing is that, you know, you can kind of like flex a little bit around there. But again, if you're at a point where a guy's coming in and you're telling him yes, 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 and you look back and maybe it's a guy, right, that he comes in and he says, hey, man, I'm pretty beat up. Like, can we bang the lift for the day? You know, it shouldn't necessarily just be like, hey, yeah, like, let's not lift. Yeah, you're right. It's OK. Well, like, let's move it to this day. Or, hey, what if we do just this? Or like carrying those conversations on, because then if you, again, are a little bit of a pushover in that, is now you're putting guys in a terrible spot, right? Because we know they can still get a benefit from getting some type of loading or just exploring why they might be feeling down. So I guess my 2 cents would be is like, don't let like having feel be something that keeps you from getting guys better, because a lot of times like they don't understand what's going to, you know, help the body bounce back. So their first thing is like, let's take some things away. Like, hey, I don't want to do this, or hey, I don't want to do that. It's like, nah, dude, like there's a reason why we do it. Let's talk about it. Let me explain it to you. And again, kind of like to what we've all been saying, that was like, when you show them why we're doing it and show them that you care, then they're going to realize that when the going kind of gets tough there. But yeah, I think big takeaway for me on it is like, don't let yourself necessarily be a pushover just because you feel like you're establishing the relationships with guys and having feel for something.
Yeah. The player's go-to is always just shut it down and do nothing versus like, let's find some like alterations to still like move around. Like ultimately that's what's going to help you get better. Like sitting and doing nothing isn't going to help the reason why you don't want to lift to begin with.
Yeah.
I think for me too, it's probably player to player versus like whole group. Like if you have the whole group and you're constantly cutting things out, like you're probably having too much feel. But like guy to guy, like we talked about earlier, like some guys are a little more sensitive to direct pushback. Some guys are cool with like just getting motherfucked. Like there are certain guys, and like if you know your guys well, right? And Joe, you talk about like a guy has the ass when he's usually pretty chill. Like if you know that guy, you can cut some of his stuff and you can have good feel with him and then get him back on schedule. Where like some guys you need to like really, you know, lay the hammer down on them, and like that is having good feel. And at the moment they may not see it, but you know, eventually they come around. I have a guy here I have a very special relationship with, and you know, our way of getting points across to each other is just being very direct and hard to each other. And like when other people hear us get into it with each other, they're like, whoa, like, are you guys okay? And we're both like, yeah, this is just how we communicate with each other. Like we have to be direct with each other, or you know, we end up blowing each other off. Where some guys are a little more sensitive, where like you got to put your arm around them and like, hey, I know you don't feel like doing this today, but like I really think this would benefit you for these following reasons, right? So like knowing the players and knowing their personalities and having those relationships makes having feel with them more like an individual thing versus like a whole group thing. And like you guys both alluded to, like if you're never getting pushback or complaints, like you're having too much feel, and that's a bad thing. Because if you're cutting reps in April, by the time you get to July and August, like there's not going to be anything to cut from, right? Like if you run 10 sprints in April, 8 in May, 6 in June, and 4 in July, August, whatever, as a regular standard for your group, like if you're cutting the reps early, like you're going to eventually run out of things to cut. So like sometimes you have to be a little more firm with things, and sometimes guys are just testing you, right? Like, let's cut these today, what do you think? And you're like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. And they're like, oh, we got this guy. Like anytime we need to tone it down, he'll do it for us. We're like, no, we're going to stick to this today, right? Like we're going to stick to this because of this, right? Casey, you talk about like having the why. Like if you can, you know, if you can explain that to guys and get them to understand, like it does help too. So I would agree with you guys. I think there is a time where you have too much feel, but it's a super fine line. And I don't know if I'd rather be on the side of too much feel or not enough feel. And maybe that depends on the day and the group and the year and the team. I don't know. It's, but it is a fine line. And we've been at it for quite a while here. And I want to make sure before we sign off that, you know, if there's anything that we missed, education wise for anybody or story wise or whatever it is, like I want to give you guys the floor one last time before we close shop here.
So I got a good thing I was thinking about here as you're talking there, Chris. I think it's good for everybody to be aware of the clap off. So it's funny with our assistant that we have here. The other day, I was watching as he's warming guys up. I was with our pitchers. He was with the position players. He was taking them through some stuff. And it's like after a couple minutes, the guys are sitting there and they're like, all right, like good stuff. Let's go. And it's, you just got to be aware of that. And be ready, right? Is like towing the line on things, or like knowing when. And again, like guys are going to test you, and that was a test for him. And it was funny just seeing, like, again, like the smile and the banter. But we've had it too before where one of our coaches, he was up working with major league guys, and I mean, that's obviously, as you're a minor league coach and you're still kind of coming up, that can be like a nerve-wracking experience, right? It's like you're working with the dudes, and it's just like, we had some vets up there, and again, they weren't being like salty about anything, but again, right, it's like even those guys, they want to have some fun. They're like, all right, we got a new guy, and they got like a couple I guess they started clapping him, and he was like, all right, yep, we're good to go. And it's like, again, that's the fun stuff about the job, man. But I think for just coaches that are kind of new, like if you ever have that, like know what's expected of you and like know how to handle the situation, because the guys are having fun. They want to test you. They want to see what's going on. And again, if it happens one time, like, all right, fine, that's cool. But just like, know as you get older, right? It's like, don't let the guys clap you off. Don't let them cut it early. If the day calls for, you know, whatever needs to be done. And then have the feel on the other days where, you know, give them a little bit of that back. Like, tell them we're going to do some big stuff. Like, one thing I've been joking with guys is we do the, for our pitchers, is we have the WAPLIKE assessment. And that's just basically where we just torch guys on there. It's like 6 seconds on, 24 seconds off, 10 reps of it. Like, guys are dead afterwards. And as soon as the WAPLIKE showed up here, I told all of our pitchers, I was like, yeah, it's a new thing we got. We found some really strong correlations to like velo, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to be doing it quarterly. So every quarter, we're going to be hitting that. And guys are just like, are you kidding me? I'm like, nah, yeah, it's from the higher. And then eventually, you know, yeah, I'm just kidding with you. But like, keep them on their toes, because they're going to try and keep you on your toes. So
that's the ultimate respect back and forth, I think, is like, you can like both parties can acknowledge that there's like, there's always going to be some uncomfortable times and some times when like you want to be, or you don't want to be pushed when you need to push. And, you know, for the coach and the player to go back and forth, it like helps strengthen that relationship and ultimately like helps that, you know, helps them get to where they need to go. There's one guy in particular I was thinking of when we were just talking about all that, is the Chris, when you were saying like challenge, they're just testing you to see how much they can get away with. Like I've had one that I've had spent like 3 years with, and he was just like constantly, oh yeah, I would just complain. Like, that's fine. Like, we got 10. He's like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to see if you'd drop it down without me like saying anything. And I'm like, nope, staying strong. And he's like, okay, man. He just like puts his head down and does it. And it's just how it goes. Like, you know, ultimately, I always go back to this, ultimately, like, that depends on your communication, your relationship with guys, and, you know, what I think what good feel is really dependent, like, on how your relationship is and what they, you know, what you guys can both kind of like acknowledge as being a fair middle ground.
Yeah, the handshake, the high five, the clap off, Casey. We have a guy here who, like, we run 10, like on the sixth one, he'll run by with his hand up looking for a high five. It's like the, you know, conditioning session ends with high fives and like try to catch you off guard and like, oh, you gave me the high five, so I guess I got to do six today. So,
yeah.
But no, guys, I really appreciate it. I hope this was really informative for all of the listeners and just giving a better look at what feel is and maybe, you know, helping some people avoid some uncomfortable situations for themselves. And appreciate you guys. I appreciate all your insights, all your stories, and being able to be vulnerable for me and share some, you know, negative things that you've done in your career. And we'll talk soon. Good luck the rest of the way. And, you know, when you guys play each other, hopefully it doesn't get too ugly. So
thanks, thank you, Chris.
Guys. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part two of our two-part episode with Casey and Joe. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you enjoyed part one as well. I've received some really good feedback already on part one. So if you haven't listened to that one, I would strongly recommend checking that one out. But, you know, I think this is a really relevant topic in professional baseball, and having some feel, you know, it gets said all the time. And so for me, I thought it was a really good episode to get going. I can't believe it took me over 6 years to get some coaches on to talk about having some feel, but I think Casey and Joe really knocked it out of the park. And I hope that you're able to take some lessons both from the failures of all of us and the successes of all of us. And, you know, the three things that I did take from the guys in this particular episode: players will go above and beyond for you if you've demonstrated good feel in the past. Knowing organizational standards can help you determine the level of flexibility you have when you need to make adjustments. And there are times where you can have too much feel and it can ultimately backfire on you. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.